mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you happen to be in a boat, and you happen to be at the confluence of the Monongahela and the Allegheny Rivers that form into the Ohio River, and you take that boat 35 miles north up the Allegheny River through, I think there's about four or five locks, you'll come to a bridge. At that bridge, if you look to your right, you will see the town of East Brady. If you look to your left, you will see the suburbs, Brady's Bend. You can call it the suburbs with tongue in cheek because East Brady has maybe at best 1,000 people, probably less. East Brady actually is the town where NFL quarterback Jim Kelly was born and raised, if anybody knows about that kind of stuff. Brady's Bend is where Tom Rossman was born and raised. It's where my grandparents' house was. It's where I used to spend time in the summer. Now, Brady's Bend is an old mining community, basically. Originally, it was coal mining and then went into limestone mining, and now all those mines are just used really to store different things because they found that there's a steady temperature that goes on within those massive mines. And apart from that, not much else. It is basically a creek that created a valley about a half a mile wide. And within that valley, you can find a general store, formerly known as Pizzuti's General Store, because Emma and her sister, the Pizzuti sisters, ran it. There's a gas station. There's a barber shop, Sonny the barber. I got one of the worst haircuts I ever got in my life from Sonny, and my grandmother let Sonny know about it. There is the Polly Rocket Bar and Hotel. There is a Protestant church. There is a Catholic church. There is, I believe, an American Legion Hall. It might be a VFW. And it formerly was St. Patrick's Catholic Church, but they built a new church. And that's about it. My grandparents lived up on the hill in a section called Roseville. Now, up in Roseville, there were probably at best 20 houses, if I remember correctly. And of those houses, not all of them had indoor plumbing. We're talking the boonies here in terms of little backwater sort of thing. My grandparents' house, thankfully, did have indoor plumbing. But it was kind of an interesting system. It was a spring-fed water system they had. I remember they had a big, barrel outside that water came through a tube, filled the barrel up, and then it back-fed into the house, and that was how they got their water. There wasn't really an efficient hot water tank, so when it was time for a bath, because there was no shower there, they would take a tub of water and heat it up on the stove. And then the fighting began to see who got to take the first of the baths. My grandmother was one of those sainted grandmothers. She was the kind of grandmother that her grandchildren really could do very little wrong. Very seldom did we ever get in trouble there. I used to spend a lot of time there with my cousin Bob. Bob was about 2 weeks older than me. He's exactly 2 weeks older than me. And we were at the younger echelon of the grandchildren. And so we'd spend weeks up there just palling around, going out, finding all kinds of things to do, and really enjoying our summertime. There weren't many rules. One rule was, you don't go in the creek, and that upset us. Because when you're there in the summer and it's really hot and it's pushing 100 degrees and the humidity's about 95%, and you see the water of a creek flowing down through the middle of the valley, and you look at that and you think, Wouldn't that be nice? And so one day, we thought this would be a good idea. No harm, no foul. How's she ever going to know about it? We'll just stay outside once we're done, make sure everything's dry, and when we get back home, she'll be no wiser about what our actions were. And so Bob and I jumped in the creek. Now, the creek was known as the Sulphur Creek because with all the mining, there was a lot of mine runoff and it went into the water. And so it had that kind of smell to it, but we weren't too concerned about that because that smell seemed to be everywhere. And so we did our time in the creek, cooling off and finding ourselves exactly what we wanted to do in terms of relief from the summer heat. Made our way back up into the house, and then it was bath time a few hours later. And as she had us getting ready to go into the bath, suddenly she erupted in an anger that I had never seen from my grandmother before. And I couldn't understand how it was that she had figured it out. And she yelled at both of us, wagging her finger at us, saying, "I told you never to go in that creek." Bob and I looked at each other somewhat stunned because we really couldn't understand how it was that she discovered this as we stood there before her in our underwear getting ready to go into the bath until we looked down at our underwear and discovered that our tidy whities weren't so tidy anymore, that they had turned yellow from the water in the creek. Wasn't such a good grandchild that day. We run into those things with our children and with our grandchildren because they don't always listen. Even today, I don't always do the things I'm supposed to do. But we strive to teach our children the right way to do things. We want our kids to be good. That's the question that we're forced to face as parents and grandparents. That balance between our children being good and our children being happy. There's a significant difference between happy and good. Today's gospel lesson really is a microcosm of God's understanding about His call for us to be good and not necessarily happy. Peter had to be all full of himself. After all, he got the quiz right. He knew exactly who Jesus was. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah of the world. You are the Lord and Savior of us all. Way to go, Peter. Yay, yay. We'll name a basilica after you now. Thanks for getting that. And then in the same conversation, he fails miserably. He fails because he doesn't begin to understand at all the concept of what lies in store and what it's all about in terms of what the Messiah offers to the world. That it's not a book signing tour, that it's not a motivational speaking experience that's going on, that they're not going to go town to town being greeted by throngs of people, having them throw money at them and saying how good it is to have you here, Messiah. But rather, being good is about being obedient. And being obedient is about bearing that cross that ends up being the source of his death. A cross that not only Jesus bears, but a cross that we too are called to bear. Because you see, it's not about happiness. It's about goodness. It's about us being able to take the things that God has blessed us with and to use them within this world. It is about being the people that God has asked us to be. It is about being good, obedient, blessed people. And as this world goes on, it seems to move further and further from the understanding that truly to be a Christian is about being good and obedient in terms of the Word of God, not about being happy. Because there are very successful ministries out there that all they talk about is being happy, is doing the things that you need to do to satisfy yourself. And when you do that, then you find yourself filled and blessed by God. God's role in our world isn't to make us happy. And I don't believe God is looking for our own personal happiness to fulfill that relationship that we have with Him. You see, happiness is about getting what we want when we want it, how we want it, anytime that we want it. Goodness is about being able to take those things that we've been blessed with and to use them in the manner for which God has intended. Goodness is about listening to the words that are placed before us and helping us understand exactly what it is that we need to do and when we need to do it and how we need to do it. We are called to be good. Not necessarily called to be happy. But within that expression of goodness, within that expression of faith, if we truly take those gifts that God has blessed us with and we use them out of the goodness of our hearts, if we try and celebrate the fact that we as God's people can be the person that we individually have been called to be and share the goodness that we've been blessed with, then possibly we find happiness in terms of understanding that it is within the giving that we grow. It is within the giving that we understand that love that God has blessed us with. It is within the giving that we begin to build relationships with one another and understand what we have to be able to share with the world around us. It's not about creating a false sense of happiness, but rather it is about taking the blessings that we have and using them in whichever role God would have us play. I copied this down because I wanted to get it right. To give you an understanding about what happy is all about in the Christian world. This is a direct quote. And this is not for me. I want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives Him the greatest joy. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy. That's what Joel and Victoria Osteen would have you believe, because that's a direct quote from Victoria. And if that isn't the biggest pile of garbage and dung that ever has come out of a pulpit, I don't know what is, because we are gathered here not to make ourselves happy. We are gathered here to give thanks for God for what God has blessed us with. We are gathered here to be able to allow the world to understand that God has blessed us with all kinds of things that we can go out and serve the world in the goodness that we've been given. We have been called not to do this for ourselves, but to do this for the world around us, to give thanks to God through our outward efforts of what we do, to give thanks to God by being faithful to listening what the rules happen to be and doing our very best to follow them. We have gathered here together to allow the world to know that we are faithful and good in who we are and what we do, and we are going to celebrate those gifts that God has given us in any way possible, not by finding a way to make ourselves happy, but by serving this world that God has placed us in. And sometimes that means staying out of the creek. Because being good is doing the things that we've been told to do. But most of all, being good is being obedient to that word of God that leads us and guides us, that takes us to places that sometimes doesn't make us happy, but allows us to understand that when we bear our cross, when we take those things that God has placed within our lives, that goodness that we share not only benefits us, but it creates a world of faith and love for the world around us. That's what we're called to do. We are called not necessarily to look for our happiness, but we're called simply to be good. Good Christians, good and faithful followers, good people all around. Amen.